This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Well, I am so thrilled. I've got somebody really special just coming up, but I do want to tell you, everybody, stay to the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk some more. Okay, who do I have on the phone here?
We have Matt.
We have Matt. Okay, why is Matt on the phone? Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Okay. Woo. Did I put you in at 11 o'clock? Did I?
Yes.
Oh, well, then I get somebody else on the bottom of the aisle. It's anyway, anything's possible here. This has been a crazy time. Is this pandemic thing a crazy time? You can't get a computer person in to fix your computer. I have to bring my son down from Madison, Wisconsin, because he's the only person I let in my house. The whole world is going absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's a change time.
It is a change time. And so we are talking about your book. And, you know, of course, it's a book that I love because it starts with a Z. And as you know, ever since I was a kid, my name has a Z in it because I love Z. And so I just sort of always move. If I see somebody's name with a Z, I say, oh, I have to talk to that person. So, Matt, I want to talk today about Z-isms. Your book, and it's just fascinating how you have come out with this wonderful idea, how to help people, how to encourage people. And,
excuse me, Patty.
And so,
Patsy.
Yeah, Patsy with a Z.
Patsy, sorry.
You have to say Z, very Z, because that's...
This is Glenn Joy with Everyone Dies Famous.
Which one? Oh. Which one do I have on?
Should be... This is Len?
Len, you're
Len.
There. Well, that's what I thought, Len. I have
I'm sorry,
you.
I called in and waited. Maybe they misheard my name.
Oh, Len, I'm sorry. That's what I was wondering because I'm
getting a little worried. I don't think I could talk about that subject very well.
Well, so. I don't know because it is actually right up your alley. You know. Okay, now let's start again here because now I I'm not actually going crazy, Len. Because, you know, it's so funny. Your name is Joy. And
yes.
That's one of the reasons. The minute your publicist sent me the you know, a notice and there was your name was on the top, Len Joy, and I said, somebody with the name Joy, I have to talk. And I just said, oh, I hope the book is great. And then it occurred to me, and this is so funny, you know, I just like, what? You are just quite... Something special, because you wrote a book that, you know, when I was talking about it to somebody, they said, oh, the book is called Everyone Dies Famous. And, of course, it is just a fantastic book. It's the second of your books. And it's about a wonderful, wonderful, in the story, the story of a man who... had a perfect game in baseball. And so I just thought it was just the perfect subject for me to talk about at this time of the year when everybody's thinking about baseball. My goodness,
right.
You know, when are we going to get back to it? And of course, in your first book, which is American Pastime, and the character there is Dancer Stoneman, Stonemason, sorry, Stonemason, which is a long name, Dancer Stonemason, but I liked it. And the thing is, of course, in that book, it talks about, you write about the reason, you know, sort of his downfall, which is, for some people, you know, wouldn't have been a downfall, but it's a fascinating story. And now everyone was waiting for Everyone Dies Famous because they knew there was another book in you.
Yeah, this was my third novel, actually. I wrote American Pastime like in 2014, it took like about 8 years that I was new to the business of writing, and you know, it was learning the process. And it's a story of at that time he's a young man, he's a prospect, he's on the verge of being called up to the major leagues, and he's pitching in front of his young son. This is in this minor league game, and this is his last minor league game before he's called up, and they're going to take him out after a couple of innings just to rest him, make sure he's ready for the Labor Day doubleheader. He's supposed to pitch with the Cardinals, and he's pitching so well, he convinces them to keep him in the game, and he goes all nine innings, pitches a perfect game, but he injures his arm, and he never does, in the end, get his shot to be called up, and his life unravels. And it's a 20-year saga, sort of a family saga of the 50s through the Vietnam War, and you know, the trials and tribulations of Dancer Stonemason and his family. And it ends right after in 1974 with Dancer literally riding off into the sunset, to sort of a story of redemption and second chances. And I like the characters, and I wrote another novel called Better Days after that. And then for my next novel, I thought I was sort of I'd invested so much time and effort in those characters, I thought I'd like to revisit them. And Everyone Dies Famous is not really a sequel, and I don't like to sell it as a sequel because, you know, that would say you have to read the first one before you read this. And this is definitely standalone, and it takes place 30 years later. Dancer is now an older man, not that old, he's 70, and you know, his son, who he was estranged from, has died before the book starts, and he's grieving, and the whole story takes place over just 14 hours in this he's returned to his small town where he had left, where he had been a hero and then a pariah, and that's basically the launching point for the story, and it's revealed quite early that there's a tornado on the way.
Well, and exactly, it's an interesting device where you start off with something that's really grabs the reader, and then you step back in time a little bit and reveal all of their stories, because this is really a character driven book. And when people look at people look back and they say, well, what was that book about? They are really caught up in the different characters that you have developed here, and Dancer, of course, being one of them. As a baseball fan, I have a proclivity to him because, you know, there have not been very many perfect games, and I was thrilled a few years ago when we had here with our Tampa Bay Rays, Keith Hernandez did a perfect game. So I was reminded of that when I'm reading about Dancer, because, you know, that's something for a baseball fan. And unfortunately, I'm not a fan of the Detroit Tigers, which, you know, I don't have much to cheer there.
Condolences.
But I can't give it up. I was going to those games. My dad was carrying me, you know, when I was a baby. So I can't give
Benny
them
McLean,
up.
He had some great years.
You live in hope. You live in hope. And,
right.
and the new manager says he's going to do it. He's going to make the number one. So,
well, I'm a pretty much a lifelong Cubs fan, so I know exactly how that is.
Yeah, you know that feeling.
35 years.
You're just waiting and waiting and waiting. I think
right.
I think somebody, some fan went to the Cubs, he was like 101. He waited all those years. Finally, he's 101, they win. So, you know, we live in hope.
Right.
But let's go back to this little town in Missouri, Maple Springs, which you really, bring to life and then almost kill the thing, poor place, with this hurricane. And about, you know, when you write so compellingly here about, first, of course, he's lost his first son. We now see the characters in the town and what's going to happen, and we're as we read this first chapter, we know, you know, we're probably not going to have all these characters at the end, and so it's because almost like a mystery, and you've told it in a, you know, all the townsfolk know each other. And explain something about the town and about the people in the town that you've created.
I like the, you know, I grew up in a small town in upstate New York, Canandaigua, New York. It's in the Finger Lakes. I always like to put a plug in for that. It's a beautiful place to grow up. But the, I liked writing about, most of my books have been about small towns and sports. They have some kind of sports figure. But the nice thing about a town is it gives you a universe. In this case, these aren't like super small towns, but they're small enough that there's not too many degrees of separation. You know, you may not know everybody in the town, but you encounter someone, and they'll know someone who you know. You have something in common, so that you can have a story with these subplots like I have in this book, and they are all connected. And that's not that doesn't seem implausible. I don't think when you're reading it, because they are, you know, there's people are close enough that. Yeah, they know someone who knows someone, so that it turns out that virtually every character has some connection with one or two of the other characters, and so that's helpful to me. I use Missouri. I was for years I had a manufacturing company in Phoenix and in Missouri, and one of the plants was in Missouri, and it's a really fascinating, interesting state of, you know, large towns and then really, really small and hundreds of small towns, and it's just, and it's sort of Southern, it's sort of Midwest, so it's got a lot of cultural cross currents that, you know, I like exploring and found made good use for writing stories about.
Well, each of the chapters it tells its story, you know, from a different perspective of one of the central characters, which I like that perspective because it gives you really an experience to, you know, to see events through different people's eyes. So let's talk about these characters that you've written about. I particularly was interested in Kayla. I liked, now she's Jim's daughter.
I like her.
Yeah, me too. And I thought, you know, I like seeing as the events unfold and they do unfold fast at one point. And tell us about Kayla and tell us about the main characters, because I thought it was a nice group.
Let's start with it. Kayla is a dancer's granddaughter. And, you know, she said, I like creating things that, like, you know, it could have been typically, the son of somebody. Because like, she goes she's finished high school, and, you know, despite what her mother would like her to go to college, she doesn't want to go to college. She loves selling cars, and she goes to work for her dad's used car or Chevy dealership and becomes an ace salesperson. And it's someone who's, you know, she's young and she's given an opportunity, and now she's about to get married, and she has this sort of challenge, like, does she go with her husband off to New York where he's got a great job opportunity, or does she try to persuade him to stay in this small town and take this, what seemed to her to be a huge opportunity for a 23-year-old to run this. Her dad has just acquired a Saturn dealership. So it's, I liked the, you know, putting, I just really enjoyed the character it created. I mean, she has a lot of spunk and attitude and, you know, she,
yeah,
defies gender roles, I guess.
Well, no, what I liked is that she had an interest in something, and she went for, you know, she wanted to go for it and wasn't being pushed into something that might not have been right for her. And that's, you know, so often in life and around, you know, in nowadays, kids are pushed away from their family business, away from their family farms, away from, you know, things that they might know very well, they might really enjoy, but they're sort of told, oh, well, you could do better, or you could do something else.
Right.
And I think that said, and I've seen that, I also come from a small town where, you know, kids are pushed sort of away, go, go, go. And so many of them would be, and in fact, are happier when they do go back to the farm, I know, you know, people and families like that, where they've gone, and not necessarily back to that area, but they've gone back to the life that they really wanted, and all of the other stuff had made them unhappy. So that's why I think I was really drawn to her.
Well, that's good. I'm because that's not a character a lot of people ever ask me about, but I really enjoyed the. I grew up in a. I have three sisters and I have two daughters and a son, but I have a lot of women in my life, I guess, and I always like to tell stories from their perspective. I think so.
Well, I thought you just did her perfectly, and as you said, she's young, and so you really managed to get into her head, and I think create a as you said, a strong character and one that we can really appreciate.
Yeah, I guess because I have 20-year-old daughters, I feel a lot of empathy for
that's
her.
That's right. You got the right feel. You understand that age. So that I thought that was great. But
great.
Of course, there are other characters there. Let's talk a little bit about Wayne.
Yeah.
And because Wayne is somebody that's very relatable to nowadays. We all know somebody and of course we've read about a lot of young men who have come back from Iraq or Afghanistan. So explain about Wayne.
Yeah, Wayne is, he's what you'd call sort of the co-main character, in that this is like a road trip between, Dancer, an old guy, and Wayne, a young soldier. And they're on a mission to retrieve a couple of jukeboxes or deliver a couple of jukeboxes to this rich developer. And Dancer starts off by, thinking Wayne's sort of a jerk and not really doesn't really want his help, but over the course of the day, that his attitude changes. And Wayne is a character, when I started writing about him, he was much different. He was not as dimensional. He was just sort of the bad guy who was breaking up the had the wrong attitude. But he's a young guy who was trying to find his way, and he went off. He was in a marriage he probably shouldn't have gotten into. He definitely shouldn't have. And he went to Iraq, and when he comes back, his wife wants to leave him. And he's conflicted because he has sort of feelings towards this good friend of his that died. And but he doesn't like the idea that he's losing his wife, and especially to this rich developer. And meanwhile, what he really wants to do is is play guitar for a rock band, and this, trying to pursue that dream. And that's sort of how the connection he has with Dancer is that Dancer can appreciate that, you have to pursue your dreams. You can't just do it like you were saying, like what everyone thinks you should do. And so that makes sort of binds him to Wayne. And, I enjoyed just having the chance to, have, I think they have some great conversations as they're driving the, at it. It's what guys, with that kind of age difference might be talking about, the things where Dancer are pretty clueless about what's going on with a 25, 30-year-old guy.
An excellent character, as you say, and this sometimes happens. You start writing about somebody, you have a character in your head, and you start writing him or her, and then after a little while, that character sometimes starts sort of taking over and going their own direction, and you sort of have to run with it.
Yes. I talked with someone the other day, and it was a real estate developer. He was interviewing, but he said he was in real estate before, and it's like, real estate developers are always given a bad rap, and sometimes deservedly. And the other guy, Ted Landis, is pretty much painted as a bad guy. But I try to, everybody, a good character has multifaceted and, good and bad aspects. And it's helpful writing from different perspectives, so you can see how other people might see these characters, and it gives a chance to sort of advocate for them. And yes, once I put them in scenes and they start talking to each other, they develop differently sometimes than I expect.
And that's, well, that is, you know, that's why I named my program Joy on Paper, because that's the joy of writing. I love your name. I have to say, I just love your name.
Thank you.
I can keep saying it.
It doesn't get misspelled much anyway.
So. No, that's nice, isn't it? And it's memorable. And that's what you need as a writer. You want to be memorable. And I think you're definitely making your mark with both of the books. But this new book, and I'm sure once people, as you said, it's a standalone. But once people read that, they'll realize that you have a lot of depth in your writing, and with a story that will stay in their minds, and people appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. I hope so.
I do
reviews, and I'm encouraged.
Good reviews, and of course. I think that Dancer and his relationship first with his son, who's passed away, as you say, by the time we start this book, and with his other son, I think all of that relationship part is important, and people will see, you know, parts of their lives in it. And I think one of the things is the more that people sort of try to understand, like in this small town, as you say, everybody knows everybody, and everybody probably knows everything. that was the way it was in my small town in northern Michigan. But you know, in so many ways, you know, all of us have these ideas about other people in our area, in our sort of sphere. And it's good to step back and read a book like yours, and perhaps then we can look at the people around us and say, are we sort of misjudging this person? Do we actually know, you know, the good things? Sometimes we don't know the good things that somebody is doing. And so I think it's really a wonderful way to get through to people. And certainly you've done it with this book.
Oh, good. You know, having come from a small town, you know, when I grew up, you know, we were far from New York City, so we always had this, I don't know, attitude about what city people were like. And then I moved to Chicago, and, you know, when I was young, at like 22, and, you know, sort of fearful and thinking it's going to be a lot different, and I discovered, you know, people were pretty much the same. There just were a whole lot more of them here than in the small town, but they weren't all that different. You know, they all had the same, you know, they go to bars and have fun and do different things. It's just, you do it in a, there's more people around you.
Exactly. And so there's a universality about the story in general. And you certainly, I like the way that you've gotten into their minds and into their heads and shared it with us. Now, you know, you're working on another book. Are you going to bring Dancer back yet?
I finished another book. For 20 years, I was commuting sort of long between Chicago and Phoenix, and that's really how I got started on writing. I'd had like 3 hours on the plane every 10 days.
You're not doing much commuting now, I don't think.
I had a business and that was based in Phoenix and right around at the Millennium. And one of the women that worked for me, her son got in a bad situation with people hot rodding on the interstate, you know, shooting guns at each other. It was just foolish kids. And he got arrested. Nobody was hurt, but he was arrested and turned out he had shot at an off-duty police officer and who was probably not behaving properly either. And he was charged with a felony, and he had to the parents, and he had a choice. And when a pretrial conference, they could go to trial and risk being sent to jail for 10 to 20 years or take a 3-year sentence. And he ended up going to jail for 3 years. And it always struck me, like, that's got to be an agonizing thing for anybody, a parent or a child.
So that's the new book coming up?
And the new book is about that incident, very not closely related, but it's like a young man with everything going for him. All of a sudden, his life takes a sudden turn, and it takes place at the Millennium, and then you review it jumps forward for 20 years, almost 20 years, but 2018, and so it's called dry heat.
Okay, well,
I'm excited about it.
I'm looking forward to reading that. Meanwhile, everyone, they can get Len Joy's Everyone Dies Famous. It's available where books are sold, but right now, since most people aren't even going to bookstores, you definitely Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Now, do you have a website that people can go to?
Yeah, and it's pretty easy. LenJoyBooks, BOOKS.com.
And that's also your Facebook name. So
yes.
People
so
can follow you.
There, and I have www.LenJoyBooks, and it has all the books and some blog posts about my other career as a triathlete. So.
Yeah, I didn't get to mention that. You're a triathlete. Were you big on baseball?
You know, I played in high school. I love baseball. I didn't... when I went to college, I was thinking I would be a football player, but I became more realistic very quickly in that respect.
Did you ever see one of those perfect games? Because
I like small towns because you can participate in a lot of sports and you don't have to be elite level to do so. That's the nice thing growing up in a small town.
Well, I just want to again thank you. Len Joy, it's been a joy to have Joy on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you very much, Patsy. I really enjoyed the opportunity. Thank you.
Okay. And I think you're going to have lots of luck with the book because it is a character-driven book, a wonderful story, and you've done a beautiful job with it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Oh, that was fun. All right. In a few minutes, we're going to have a commercial, then we'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you. Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I am back, and I'm zippy about this, okay? I'm running right ahead. I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper somebody who has a Z in their name, because as everybody knows, I love people who have Z's in their name, and it's Matt Zinman. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Patsy. Great to be with you.
Okay, well, it's great to have you on the program, because we're going to be talking about Z-isms. And it's a book, a personal development book. Wow. I like it. The minute I saw Z-isms, I knew I had to have you on the program because I never get tired of saying Z.
I know. We definitely have that in common. I'm like a support group. So I had you at the book cover. That's good news.
Yeah. Okay. The minute I saw it, I said, that's it. I have to have him. Because who knows? I mean, you might be in Webster's Dictionary soon. And as a kid, I spent my whole entire winter going through Webster's Dictionary. That was the biggest book we had in the house. And that was like one of the few books we had in the house because we were very poor. And we would, my parents had won Webster's Dictionary in a dance contest, including the stand to hold it. And so we spent our winters in northern Michigan going through the dictionary. And so often I would stop being the kind, my sister would always start at the beginning. I'd start at the end. Yeah, I have to do that. And so Z was my favorite letter. And so you might be in there shortly. I don't know if they're going to pick up your name. Zism. Right?
Yeah, I hear Z-isms, and then I have to pay respect to anyone international and say Z-ism.
Yo, don't. Oh, no, I know. I lived in England for a long time, and I had a running battle with people, and I said, no, it's not Z. It's not Z. I'm American. Get over it. Because Z-ism is a noun, and it means pearls of wisdom. Original wit or personal experience shared to positively impact as many people as possible. Insight to live by. Whoa, you think they're going to pick you up?
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so too. Well, you sell enough books and they'll pick you up. I mean, some of the words that they put in that dictionary in the past few years just drive me crazy. I don't even want to go there. That if they're going to pick up any word, I think they should pick up yours, right?
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm with you.
So let's talk about this book that is, it does a lot of things. It certainly the idea here of personal development right now, of course, during this crazy time. Many people have been turning to ideas on personal development, and after everything else, they've done everything else that they can, they're looking at ways to improve themselves, which, you know, maybe this whole pandemic-y thing will turn out to be good, because instead of the roaring 20s, we're going to have the enlightened 20s, the time when everybody started to think about them, you know, how they can improve themselves. You hope?
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, how do you turn a challenge into an opportunity? And, you know, it's a choice.
That's right.
So there are many people speaking to what you're saying.
Yeah, people are at home. A lot of people are actually saying, what's it all about? I mean, like, what in the world is going on in the world? And then what in the world is going on with me? And I think a lot of people are taking time. So this book perhaps is the answer. Well, I'm going to tell people, this is the answer. What the heck? I'm going to say it. You have to get this book and just... You know, the problem with you, Mark, is you are too young to look, you know, to seem so brilliant, you know, and wise. Like, you like have to have a long beard as a wise man, because you have a lot of great wisdom in here.
Thank you, Patsy. Well, I'm in my early 50s. I've never been able to grow a beard, so...
So we just have to take your word for it. Okay. Where did you get to be so smart? I mean, how'd you get, you know, you've got some great ideas in this book.
Thank you. Well, you know, we all have our various life experiences and challenges that we have to overcome. And a lot of the book is founded on that chapter one around earned confidence, which is the fact that we have all been through everything that we have, and we've made it through. The same as we're dealing with the pandemic right now, and we're going to make it through this too. So it really lends itself to have everyone realize that they have that earned confidence, that they don't have to worry or be anxious about anything that hasn't happened, because everyone knows they're fully capable of dealing with things in real time, dealing with the real. So then the book speaks a lot to that self-discovery and personal insight, and then also speaks to relationships and mindfulness, and then does put together that whole personal development plan and a framework for people to follow.
Well, when we talk about earned confidence, what does that mean? Because, you know, a lot of people aren't feeling real confident right now. They're not sure what they're doing. They're not sure where they're going. They're not sure what's happening in the world, let alone in their lives. So, what is earned confidence?
Well, there's a lot to it, and you know, starting to speak to the you know, the fact that it is a way to outsmart worry and anxiety. It's a way to really focus on staying in the present, which also takes on things like getting rid of regrets and resentments and putting yourself first around self-kindness and relying on gratitude to experience the joy and enrichment in life. And the operational question within it is, well, why be anything less than kind to yourself? And when we talk about personal development and things around self-esteem and self-love and things that we strive for, it's hard to get your arms around that. It almost feels too big to know what to do to feel that way about yourself to achieve that. But when you focus on self-kindness, it really is a guiding principle, this or that. You know, are you being kind to yourself or you're not? And if you rely on that, it's a great foundation to build the things that you want in and around your personal development.
Well, I like that you use that phrase, experience the joy, because this is what I tell people, not just about writing, not just about, you know, finally sitting down and writing the book that you've been dreaming about writing, because so many people just dream and never do it. And it's so important to finally do it. And at one point, you know, you sat down and you wrote a book. And as you were writing this book, I mean, did you already have all of this wisdom already sort of had you been keeping notes? How did it happen that you could sit down and write such a very, it's a self-help book that just flows very beautifully from chapter to chapter, and we're talking here, you know, you go right through a lot of different things, and we'll talk about a few of them, like beware of spiders, or be aware of spiders, and managing energy, and all of this. How did you do that? Did you know right off the bat all of the different chapters?
A lot of it actually, to answer the first part of your question, I've been thinking about a lot of the main principles of the book for a very long time. Earned confidence is something I've been speaking to for, you know, well over 10, maybe 15 years. That, you know, and the things that you just mentioned have been there as well. And then about a year ago, I had that inflection point. My son was going off to college, and I really wanted to reevaluate where I was with things. And it's one of those questions around trying to discover your why. You know, what's my calling, as it were, at least in this way. And the question that I posed to myself was, well, what would I regret not doing? And the book has been something I've been wanting to do for a long time and really rose to the surface. And then for me, you know, to the point you just made about other people, you know, interested to do the same for themselves, I just got into action. I was like, well, let me just write these things out for a few days and see where I am. And do I really have a fully formed book here? Or if not, maybe I, you know, have a blog, you know. So, but it was really, you know, had the substance to it. And at that point, I felt as though I had almost come too far to not keep going. So for anyone who is looking to, you know, consider writing the book, I would just recommend they get into action and see where it takes them.
And it certainly is taking you to, I think, a new level of your life, because now you have, and that's the wonderful thing about a book, you have a tool that you can use to spread the word of what you want to, how you want to help people. Because prior to that, you have a company, and you've been doing things to help companies develop better systems and for people to find better jobs. And we'll talk maybe a minute about that, or a sure, little while about that, a little further on, because there are so many people out there now wondering how they're going to get a job, what they're going to do. And so that you had all of that behind you, But then you had also all these other ideas, and let's talk a little bit about. Of course, one of the things that you have in your book are what you call spiders, and I think that's a fascinating thing. It's one of the things that I'm sure that many people who read the book will take away. It's funny that you should have that one because my brother is terrified of tarantulas. And that's as a result of the fact that I took him to a tarantula movie when he was a little tiny boy, and he's never overcome that. So I can't tell him about that chapter. But
it's funny because I'm sure he's not the only one. And you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Patsy. My parents took me to see Jaws in the theater when I was a kid, and I'm not the biggest fan of the ocean as a result. So that definitely has some commonality. But you know, when we talk about spiders. And just the book overall, there are certain things around like self-confidence or earned confidence that are about self-discovery. But when we talk about spiders, it's about sizing other people up and relationships and those interactions. And of course, it's a metaphor, and it speaks to what I believe is the fact that there are only two kinds of people in the world. There are spiders, and there are those who get caught in webs. And when we talk about spiders, it's someone who makes that conscious decision to be a manipulator. You either, you know, and not only make the decision, but then, of course, you have to carry out, you know, in a conscious way, what you're doing to impose your will on other people to bend to whatever it is that you want them to do. And that's one of those things that, with there being so many moving parts of us trying just to discover ourselves, let alone figure other people out, There is that one data point about people being a manipulator or not. And then how do you, and I do believe the majority of us are not, and it doesn't necessarily make those who do a terrible person, because they, you know, there might be very, you know, circumstantial, but the point is that we all have to learn how to identify these people in our lives and avoid those webs, and or how do we get unstuck if we get caught in them.
And they are, you're right, they are around us. And so when we sort of step back, and I think, as you said, you know, we're in a strange situation now in the world where we have a lot of people have extra sort of, not spare time, but they have time to reflect. Because a friend was saying to me, you know, I just realized that I spend half my life running around in the car. And now with no car and, you know, no running around to do, I have all this time. And so some people are actually using it for really, really good purpose to start looking at their lives.
Absolutely. It's an opportunity. And hopefully anyone who's here listening to the conversation right now is embracing it and following through for the very reason they're hearing. And, you know, that's what really drives me, is to have the opportunity to have these conversations and, you know, speak to these different kinds of concepts that I hope people will find helpful.
Because it really is a personal development book. There are things that you can do to help your sort of organize your mind, go through the different chapters in the book and start to look at your life and see where you can make changes, where you can improve. And I think that's the type of self-help book people need.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's kind of unfolded for me, too. I don't know if we had the chance to tell you. Although I didn't plan this when I published the book, you know, I didn't really have an end game, you know, in terms of that why for myself. I'm not a coach. You know, I wrote the book not, you know, as a business development tool or anything. I wrote it because I wanted to get it out there. And I decided to start a podcast, which I just did a couple weeks ago, called Insights to Live By, according to the subtitle. So I'm learning how to do what you're doing in terms of interviewing people.
Well,
talk about their insights to live by.
This type of thing is very helpful because many people are sort of floundering, and they need to have this direction. They need I think the inspiration that you are giving them, that yes, you can look, sort of take a step back, look around you, and look at your life, look at the lives around you, and see where you can simply make your life better. Because you can. There's so much joy to be found in this world. There's so much good that you can do. And sometimes, that's why I think, you know, with all the news and everything on television and all the things that are happening, that I think you really need, people really need to take some time without all those devices, put away the devices, and use your mind. And as you said, there's so much inside of us. We have so much knowledge. And sometimes because of the, you know, hectic lifestyles that we live and the electronics that we use, we don't take that time.
Yeah, that's well said. You know, and I like what you're talking about. And, I know you've had the book, and I really appreciate, aside from the Z, your positive feedback. Now, one of the chapters in there you also know is about perception. And there are tools throughout the book, and in this case, there's something called a perception snapshot, which is what you're talking about reminds me of, where we're all going through what we're going through, and at any given time, there's always going to be something that's not how we want it to be. And then there are things that are actually better off than we realize. And so the objective of taking that perception snapshot is really simple. You just kind of compartmentalize one thing at a time. You know, am I healthy? Is my family healthy? Are my basic life needs met? And if you start there and you're okay, then the rest is kind of more circumstantial, as bad as it may seem. And again, back to earned confidence, you know, people losing their jobs and things like that. You know, everyone's been through different things through their life and may not even have the answer right now, but you're going to make it through whatever is going on right now for you too, because that's what we've always done. And will do.
Well, you mentioned jobs. Tell us just briefly about the Internship Institute.
Sure. Well, I founded a nonprofit in 2007, as you said, the Internship Institute, and mainly, to your point, we work with employers to help them set up internship programs to create those opportunities that work well for them so that they keep those programs going, in terms of providing a quality experience and productivity for them. And we also, of course, anybody that already has a program, as well as for mentoring, we work with them to put them in place too. Mainly small businesses, you know, from a company of one to like about 250. And I'm doing a lot of work now, of course, with virtual internships, which is a specialty I've run. You know, virtual internship.
Oh boy, I need an intern. I need somebody to help me stay organized. That's what I need. But you know, one of the things I want to mention about in the book, and we're talking about LEAP. Explain what LEAP is, because as people are looking at ways to sort of organize their mind, tell us what LEAP means.
Well, LEAP is a Life Enrichment Action Plan, and it's really at the culmination of the book. It's that framework in a chapter called Winning the Battle Within, and it reflects back on all these different parts of the book, everything from, well, who are the spiders in your life, and who is your tribe in your inner circle, and there's different exercises and things that are in very, you know, small chunks, you know, anything that would take, you know, 10 minutes a day, you know, for 90 days or something. And then it talks a lot about folding, you know, habits into your life, right? Back to experiencing joy in the moment, around life enrichment. And that comes back to gratitude and what you can do to fold gratitude into your day in a way that it's, you know, easy, as opposed to something you have to force yourself to do. And then experience you know, joy more consistently.
Well, I think it's a great book, and I want to recommend it to everybody. Really, people, you have time, read it, get it, and it's available, well, right now, Amazon and Barnes & Noble, because probably you're not going to go to run into bookstores right now. I don't know. We can't do that. So the name of the book is Z-isms. And that's what's real easy. Tell us your website, because that's also easy.
Thank you. It's mattzinman.com.
Okay. And then you also have, for people who are interested in the internship part of your life, sure. You have the internshipinstitute.com, right?
That's a dot org.
Yeah, dot org.
Nonprofit.
Yes.
Yep. So, internshipinstitute.org. Thank you, Patsy.
Okay. Well, I think you're great, and I think that your advice will help many, many people. And it's been a real honor to talk to you, because you are like the wise old man on the mountain, and you have all this wonderful advice for people. So thank you so much, Matt Zinman, for being on Joy on Paper today.
The honor is mine.
Okay. Bye bye now, Matt.
Bye.
What a guy. Okay. Yeah. Whoa, people. What do I tell you? I'm telling all of you over and over. And I like that he said, you know, something about joy. This has been a really joy-filled day. I had Len Joy, and his book is wonderful, and I think that you will really enjoy it. And for me, oh, goodness gracious, I do hope that the new manager of the Tigers does something with those people, because they are like at the very, very bottom. I mean, how many years can you be at the very, very bottom? And the Detroit Tigers, I need them to win this year. Well, I don't know if anybody's going to win this year, actually. So maybe it's a good year for the Detroit Tigers. Maybe nobody else will play, and the Detroit Tigers will just take the world by this storm. We live in hope. Anyway, so Len Joy's book is called Everyone Dies Famous. It's a great book. You will enjoy it. And then, of course, Matt Zinman's book, Z-isms is very nice, and you will enjoy that too. And meanwhile, everybody, remember, if you have a question, go to radio-joyonpaper and type out your question there, and I will try to answer it, and also have Bill Larson, when he comes in, answer your intellectual property questions. And it's radio-joyonpaper. So go there and leave me a message. And I do thank all of you who have sent me very kind messages over the past month or so. And just remember what I always tell you, that one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps, my goodness, a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't know unless you start writing. And if you start writing today, you still have many, many months in the year, days in this year, 2020. You still have time. You could write a novel by the end of the year. Think of that. And meanwhile, say something nice. I'll say something nice to Bobby in the control room. Thank you, Bobby. It's so sweet to see. He's got such a sweet, smiley face. And so nice to see you here.
Anytime. Good to see you too, Pat.
Okay. And Bobby's here. And he doesn't salute me, you know. Only, I don't know.
I will. Oh, there you go. There you go.
In my mind, I am a general. Or else, maybe I'm just a bossy person. I don't know. Anyway, everybody, say something nice to somebody today and find the joy in your life. Bye-bye now.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.